While coming here, I was thinking that I would come and spend some time in London this time, which meant spend a week instead of 3 days. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing that even 1 week was, what should I say, not enough. 1 week was, 1 week didn't really serve any purpose, or didn't serve much of a purpose. So what to do? At the back of my mind I'm thinking, it would be nice if I could stay here all the time. Hare Krishna. But then again, and that, as you know, that's not possible. Being involved in ISKCON leadership, being involved in ISKCON management poses a problem. Like, you become spread out so thin all over that it becomes practically impossible to spend much time at any place. When I got involved in the Ujjain project, I was very much involved there. I was spending a lot of time there. And at that time, actually in the early days in Ujjain, when I was so much involved, I used to think that now I won't go anywhere, I'll just stay in Ujjain and let everybody come to Ujjain. But then I saw that it didn't work, because the need was there. I may have wanted that everybody should come to Ujjain, but it was not possible for me. Which is not actually, it's understandable that it's not possible for everyone to visit, travel such a long distance and come. And even if they came, those who came could spend only about a week or two at the moment. And so that is how it is in ISKCON. We can't spend much time at one place. And now another thought actually prevails or comes to our mind is that, well, I mean, someday we won't be here anymore. Then what? You'll have to carry on. Right. And I think it's time to prepare for that also. Like, well, when I won't be here, then what will happen? You have to carry on with your spiritual life. We also have seen what happens. We have seen after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, one inevitable thing that happens is that many devotees leave Krishna consciousness. Somehow, after the disappearance of the spiritual master, people lose their faith, their commitment, their enthusiasm, their conviction, and then they drift away, they go away. I have seen so many devotees. It's very unfortunate, but it is a reality. Like Prabhupada used to have about 10,000 disciples, and before leaving the planet, Prabhupada very emphatically instructed that we should carry on after his disappearance with implicit faith. and conviction. Prabhupada said that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. To continue this movement. So that Prabhupada very clearly indicated that he wanted us to remain in Krishna consciousness and continue. But when we look around, how many Prabhupada disciples are there? Very few. That means so many have left. Now, is it desirable? No. The spiritual master expects that everybody, every single disciple will continue with the same enthusiasm. And that is why it is important that we recognize our involvement or the importance of our involvement in the institution. It's important that we recognize ourselves, recognize our identity as a part of this institution. Not just one man, the spiritual master, but the institution, the family. Yes, relationships will be there, but the relationship should be based on the total unit, the total body of ISKCON. We are all parts of ISKCON. The leaders of ISKCON are just a part of ISKCON. But if the relationship just develops with a particular individual in the center, then we are actually missing out on the bigger picture of the institution. We are just seeing partial picture, and that can often tend to a clannish mentality, groupism, schism. So these are actually detrimental and undesirable possibilities that we should be very careful and try to avoid. We have to see the bigger picture, we have to understand the actual mission, why we all are here. The understanding should be, we all are here for our spiritual development, our spiritual development. And that spiritual development is centered around Krishna. Our spiritual development is centered around Krishna. And then when it comes down, it centers around Srila Prabhupada. When it centers around Prabhupada, then it should center around Prabhupada's institution, ISKCON. Because ISKCON and Prabhupada are non-different. What Prabhupada wanted, that has become manifested in the form of ISKCON. And Prabhupada created ISKCON to provide us the shelter, the much needed shelter in this dangerous situation that we all are in this material nature. The allurements of material nature is very, very strong. The allurement is to take us away from Krishna consciousness. The allurement is to provoke us to run after sense gratification. The allurement is to fall down. That is what the allurement is. But Krishna consciousness is here to elevate us to the spiritual platform and situate us on the spiritual platform, protect us from all possible dangers. That is what spiritual life, Krishna in Krishna consciousness is. ISKCON is there to give us that safety, the safe situation. And what is that safe situation created by? The association of devotees. If we remain in the association of devotees, we will remain fixed up. If we go away from the association of devotees, no matter how advanced we may be, we will fall down. I'm speaking out of my experience. I've seen so many devotees who are apparently so advanced, so fixed up. But the moment they drifted away from ISKCON, they fell down. Very committed and powerful sannyasis, big leaders of ISKCON. The moment they drifted away, they gave up their sannyas and fell down. Is it desirable? No. Whether we are a big leader or new bhakta, doesn't matter. Whether we are a big sannyasi or just a little brahmachari, doesn't matter. Whoever we are, we have come irrespective of our situation, whether we are brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, we all have come here to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. And we should remain fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Never should give it up. That should be our objective, that should be our goal. Maya is strong, but Krishna consciousness is very safe. The association of devotees gives the most wonderful protection. And what is Maya? Maya means sense gratification. The sense gratification comes in so many ways. But the root of sense gratification is actually the attraction for opposite sex. So we should be very careful about that. Whether you are brahmacharis or householders or vanaprastis or sannyasis, we should be very careful about that. That's why there is the system of marriage. And that is dharma. That is a religious principle. It is important that a man and a woman get together, but it must be for the sake of procreation, not for sense gratification. The purpose of marriage is only procreation. The world is becoming very, very degraded. I don't want to get into that, what is happening in today's world. You all read newspapers and you read what's happening around the world. And you can see any sane man with common sense can understand how degraded this society is becoming. So, in one hand, we have our provocation for sense gratification, but that is the cause of our entanglement in the material nature, which is a source of suffering. Material nature is a place for suffering. And our material body is an instrument to receive pain. That is the reality. We are so attached to this material body. But what is this body for? This body is meant for receiving pain. And do we want pain? Do we want suffering? No. But still, why we are so attached to this body? Because we think that through this body we are going to enjoy. But can we enjoy through this body? Rather, The more we try to enjoy through this body, the more we end up suffering. That's the punishment. Like the more you commit a crime, the severe becomes the punishment. May not sound very palatable, but that's the reality. We want to enjoy through the body, but the more we try to enjoy through the body, the result is not enjoyment. The result for aspiring for enjoyment, result for endeavoring for enjoyment, will culminate into suffering. And it's directly proportional. The more you try to enjoy, the more will become the suffering. And now the question is, then what is the way to enjoy? How can we enjoy? That's why you have to come to ISKCON, to understand that. Why, how to enjoy. And Srila Prabhupada is giving us the real way to enjoy. And what is the real way to enjoy? You can't enjoy through your body, but you can enjoy with your spirit soul, in your spiritual identity. How to enjoy? Develop your relationship with Krishna. That is the real enjoyment. This is illusory because it appears, it comes with the promises that there will be enjoyment, but there is no enjoyment. There is no enjoyment. What are you getting? Punishment. You're getting suffering. So do you want to suffer? If you don't want to suffer, then find out how to get the real enjoyment. And the real enjoyment comes from developing your relationship with Krishna. And sometimes it is painful to see that even devotees of ISKCON, in spite of being in the movement for so many years, are running after sense gratification. And even they try to philosophize their sense gratification. They want to justify. But actually that is a snare of Maya. You may justify, but Maya is making her arrangement to tie you up across your, around your neck, and victimize you. The Prabhupada has given the perfect process, just follow it. And the process is very simple. Chant the holy name of the Lord, following the four regulative principles. What actually becomes difficult, I mean, these two very simple processes, when they become difficult, then the problem starts. Follow the four regulative principles. I mean, what's the difficulty? What's the point in being attracted to animal food? You're human beings. Get used to human food. The food that are befitting to human beings. And food that are actually meant for civilized human beings. Not only vegetarian food, but Krishna Prasad. Give up intoxication. What's the point in getting intoxication? Well, intoxication, poisoning yourself. Doesn't it literally mean that? Toxin means what? Toxin means poison. So what's the meaning of intoxication? You all speak English. And why indulge in illicit sex? Yes, for the sake of procreation, get married, lead a healthy family life with your married wife. Why run after other women? Why one woman is not enough for you? Why run after other women? And why have illicit relationship with them? Do you think it's enjoyment? That's the worst kind of suffering. And that is the Maya's allurement. Sex life, which is the most painful affair, people think that that's the most enjoyable thing. So give it up for the sake of your own benefit. And why lead a life based on untruthfulness? Become upright. Become situated in truth. Now, isn't it a naturally desirable standard of life? What to speak of a person who is aspiring for spiritual elevation? Even for a normal gentleman, these four activities are considered to be a must. So why should it become difficult? Yeah, it becomes difficult when you do not understand and when you do not follow. So we should be careful about our commitment, and we should become concerned about our destination, where we want to go. Where we want to go. Do we want to get stuck here, or we want to go to a desirable situation? And that desirable situation is our original constitutional position in the spiritual sky. So we must constantly remind ourselves about these points. Just please consider that whenever you get together, remind yourselves about this point. That is the meaning of sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha is not just get together and have a party or a picnic. That's also nice to have. Prasad is nice in the association of devotees, but the real association is the constant reminder of our main object. Sadhu Sangha is not just, oh, how are you, fine, thank you. That's not Sadhu Sangha. Try to derive, try to remind yourselves. What is your actual mission? And the more you associate with the devotees, the right kind of devotees, the more you'll become aware and inspired about that object. Other people will not appreciate it. They'll think, why do these people come and always speak about the same thing? Do not do this, do not do that. But please try to understand that this is for your own benefit. For your own benefit. That the sadhus are coming and reminding you about these objects. Because the death may come at any time. And then, yes, you are a spirit soul, you'll continue. You'll get another body. But what is the guarantee? What kind of body will you get? What if, after this life, you get an animal body? Will you be able to think about Krishna? Will you be able to practice this process of Krishna consciousness? So now that we got this human form of life, let's become serious. Let's try to take full advantage of it. Today I had a very remarkable experience. Sandipan Krishna drove me to the Soho Street Temple to give the Bhagavatam class. After the Bhagavatam class, I was coming back. Sandipan was there with his fiance, who is supposed to get married in a few months, Anupama. We are just one junction away from here, she notices a missed call in her phone, a missed call from her sister. She phones her and she finds out that her father had a heart attack. And not only he had a heart attack, that time her sister didn't want to tell her. The reality was that her father already left. And we were almost here, so we turned around and we went to the hospital. And this is how sudden, how abruptly death can come to us. There's no way of knowing when death will come. There's no way of knowing when some of us will disappear from this planet. Therefore, the intelligent thing to do is to be prepared for that. To be Krishna conscious means to be prepared for death all the time. That is, to remember Krishna all the time, with an understanding that death can come at any moment. Therefore, the intelligent thing to do is to check up. What if death comes now? Am I ready? From time to time, it's a nice practice actually. You can try it out. Maybe some of you are already trying. What am I going to do if death comes right now? Do I have to think back, oh, I didn't write my will? Oh, I wish I had a few more days to get my lawyer. The money that is in the bank, I did not properly take care of that. Or, like so many different thoughts may come, but should he get affected by those thoughts? Or should he be prepared? Fine, I'm ready to go. And that should be our situation. No matter whatever is behind us, if the death comes now, I'm not going to look back. I'm ready, Krishna. So that is the meaning of remembering Krishna in the time of death. Unless and until we are in that situation, we won't be able to remember Krishna. And otherwise, at the time of death, we'll think of so many other things. We may think of our family members, our bank account, our shares, our house, our dog, our cat. So many different thoughts will come. But the option is, or the choice is, whether should we think of those things or should we just think of Krishna. An intelligent proposal is to brush aside all those thoughts and just think about Krishna. Which literally means no looking back. Just look forward towards Krishna. And that is, Krishna, now that you have come, I'm ready to go with you. And then only at that time Krishna will come. And Krishna will say, okay, come with me. But if we say, Krishna, just wait. Krishna will say, okay, go back. Go back. Who did you think of? You thought of your dog? Go, get a body of a dog. You thought of your house? Go to your house as a cockroach. May sound rude and unpleasant, but that's the reality. The last thought that you'll get at the time of death, that's the kind of body you will get. So be careful what kind of thoughts you are going to allow to creep in your mind at that time. And I tell you, those thoughts are not just going to be some pre-planned thing. We can't say, well, I will think about Krishna at the time of death. Now let me carry on with all my other affairs. No. You know, what will be the last thought? The last thought will be where your deepest attachment is. Therefore, be careful about developing your attachments. Because that is going to be a lost thought. The deepest attachment is going to be a lost thought. Therefore, develop your deepest attachment for Krishna. And where, what is the meaning of the deepest attachment? Deepest attachment is wherever you have your deepest love. Wherever you have your deepest love. So, where are you going to develop your love? For whom you are going to develop your love? Develop your love for Krishna. It's a very, very scientific process. And I can assure you, you'll never go wrong if you follow this process properly. Ultimately, of course, it's a matter of mercy. But still, on our part, we can practice the process. That is also another factor that we can, or another aspect of this process. Mercy. But then again, the mercy also will not happen just by chance or accident. Like just yesterday, I was with one of my godbrothers, Rupa Vilas Prabhu, and we were discussing about this mercy aspect, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Like, there had been, as I was mentioning, like many of Prabhupada's disciples actually left the movement, and many of them became quite degraded and drifted away in a very, very miserable way. One such person is one of our godbrother who was a sannyasi. His name was Prithiputra. And he's from France. During Prabhupada's time, he did a lot of service. During Prabhupada's times, those who rendered a lot of service, Prabhupada used to give them sannyas. And Prabhupada used to give them sannyas and he used to make them GBCs. So that is the way Prabhupada used to recognize one's contribution. Now, after Prabhupada's disappearance, this sannyasi, he drifted away, he fell down. And eventually he got AIDS, and he was hospitalized, he was practically in his last days. So the doctors were considering what to do with him now. And two doctors were there, they're discussing. All of a sudden, he just sits up, this devotee. And says, Prabhupada, you came. And he left his body. So, we could see, and the doctors didn't know who Prabhupada was, so they told his girlfriend that this is what he said at last, who is Prabhupada? The girl also didn't know who Prabhupada was. And then, she came across a devotee at some point because she knew that her boyfriend was a proper disciple. I mean, a Hare Krishna devotee at one time. So then she came across some devotee and she asked, what is the meaning of that? Prabhupada, you came. And devotee asked, And anyway, this is how they got to know. So we can see that literally Prabhupada came. Prabhupada didn't forget all the services that he rendered for him. So although he became so fallen, but Prabhupada came to rescue him at that time. Yes, in some cases Prabhupada will come, but what's the guarantee that he'll come in my case? So let us be careful about that. Let's not take things for granted. Let's just prepare ourselves properly. And yes, if we render service to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, that sincerely, then Prabhupada is most grateful. So he will come. He'll come. And it is by his mercy that we'll be able to go back to the spiritual sky. So, please take the process very seriously. I feel very bad, I feel guilty that I'm not able to give the kind of time that you may be wanting me to give. I'm not able to guide you the way I should have. But please, that's why I always remind you that the wonderful arrangement that Srila Prabhupada has made is perfect. And take advantage of that arrangement. And that arrangement is ISKCON. That arrangement is his books. And on my part, I'll try my best as much as I can do, and that's why recently I started this program of the retreats at different places. And there was those of you who have participated in those retreats, you have seen that they're quite effective. Since my health was not good and I was told not to travel so much, to cut down my travel, then I thought that when I go to, say I came to Europe, and in Europe I had to go to so many different places. That's what I used to do, like France, Belgium, Holland, Switzerland, Italy, Spain. Even if I spent 3 days in one place, 1 month would have gone. And just going from one place to another, constant traveling. So that's why I thought that this time what I would do is I would just make some arrangement in one place where the devotees can come and we can spend the time together. 1 week. Just be there together. And so the first one, the arrangement was made in Switzerland, in the Swiss Alps. A hotel, one full hotel was reserved, and about 110 devotees came. And it seemed that everybody liked it. Everybody was very, very excited about the program. Everybody enjoyed it. And I could also see the benefit of it. Like, when I go from one place, say for example, I am here in London for 6 days. But how much time we are actually spending together? I'm going to some place, maybe giving a lecture for 1.5 hours, spending about 3 hours total in that area. And some people are coming, and then I'm gone, and then I'm going to another place, another situation, another 2-3 hours. So this is the result of that kind of arrangements. But here, we are here for 7 days. Everyone is there just for 7 days. We are together for 7 days. And there is nothing to worry about. You don't have to worry about telephone bills and gas bills and making breakfast and making dinner, going to work. Like, you are there. You don't have to worry about anything. Everything is taken care of. And all we are doing is just from morning till night, just Krishna conscious association. And sometimes going out on a picnic, going out on a walk in the Alps. And anyway, as I said, those of you who went, you saw how relishable, how uplifting, and how beneficial it was. So, the Swiss one was very successful, and then I was going to America, so in America also I made the same arrangement, like let everybody come and let us be together. So in America we had the program in Orlando, and everybody loved it. And this Orlando one, about 150 devotees came. Then the next one was last January in South Africa. Not last January, yeah, this January in South Africa. And 250 devotees came. And not only that, they all started to plan where is going to be the next one. And anyway, so I'm actually seriously considering of doing things like that. I wish that this 1 week that I spent here, I made some arrangements like that somewhere nearby. Like where all of us could have been together. And wouldn't that be lovely? Anyway, the European retreat this year, last year it was in the Swiss Alps, so this year the European was in Spain, in Gold Coast, Costa del Sol, Sun Coast, Costa del Sol in Malaga. There also they have reserved a hotel, and I think the capacity is 150. Last week I just received a message that the whole thing is fully occupied, fully booked. They can't take any more. And I could see the devotees, or some devotees are already writing, oh, I wrote a letter but I didn't get the reply. Now what am I going to do? Anyway, let us see. And it's going to be beautiful. I think it's a beautiful hotel. Like, just to give an example, somebody was telling me, how it was, I think, Radha Vinod was telling me that the arrangements, how to make the arrangements, that on top of the hotel, on the roof of the hotel, there's a swimming pool. And that will be exclusively reserved for the ladies. And the men can go to the beach during their spare times, mind you. And so this is the European retreat this year. Last year European was in the mountain, this year it is on the coast, on the beach. And the American one was in Orlando last year, which is not exactly on the beach but near the ocean. And this year the American one is going to be on the mountains. In the Colorado mountain, there is a very beautiful skiing resort called Vail. And that's considered to be one of the most beautiful locations in America. And we have reserved the Holiday Inn there, and which is one of the best hotels in Vail. And so our American retreat is going to be there. South African retreat last year was in Drakensberg, another mountain region. But it seems that this year in South Africa we have to have two retreats. Because I don't want it to be more than 250. But this year already there was 250, and it's inevitably going to be more. Because the appeal for the retreats are increasing. So I'm thinking that we'll probably have two retreats, one in Durban area and the other one is in Cape Town area. That's another very beautiful area in South Africa. And the objective is that let's spend some time together, and this way probably I can guide you in an effective way. Like, to tell you, you know, my going to different places, usually, you know what it is like? I go to a place, what's the first thing? A huge feast. And after the feast, you are so tired that all you can do is just give one class. So what's the use of that? I mean, is this what we are here for? Like, and the thing is that now I can't really handle this feast. I mean, for my health reasons, I can't, I should not. Like last year also I was just cooking myself so that I know what I need to eat. If I let you all eat, if I allow you all to cook, then sky is the limit. The sky becomes the limit, or even the sky doesn't become the limit. Actually, our actual association should be this kind of Krishna conscious association. And the Krishna Conscious Association means I have to tell you what to do and what not to do, whether you like to hear it or not. And you have to be prepared to be chastised. Like when I meet you for one and a half hours, where is the room for chastisement? Then everything appears to be so honky-dory. But I have to remind you where you are going wrong and where you are going right. I feel bad that just I'm meeting. Actually, usually when I come, the first day I have the meeting with you all, my disciples and friends. But this time, the way things are, that I could meet you earlier. The program was set, and I mean things were in such a way that I could not meet you earlier. So at least I am meeting you all today. How many of you are going to Malaga retreat? Very good. Okay. I know many of you won't be able to go to Malaga. So I was actually thinking, it will be nice to have some retreat somewhere nearby. I was considering some place, maybe Ireland or Scotland, which is not very far, but where going won't be so difficult. London is very expensive, so we can't afford to organize it here. But I think Ireland or Holland will be, Ireland or Scotland probably will be relatively cheaper. Anyway, let me see if I can have the time. Like, if we organize something here, how many of you would like to come? Here means near here, near UK, in UK. Thank you. So let me see, how many of you think that that's a better way to utilize our time? And how many of you think that you can take the time to be in this kind of retreat? So let's see what you can do. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any question? Hare Krishna. Those who are sitting at the back, can you hear me? Could you hear me? Anupama, you could hear? You see, my throat is in a bad shape and I can't speak very loudly. At least, fortunately, the microphone is there. Really, there are some amplifiers. You can hear. Okay. Anyway, I mean, my speech practically came to an end. And anyway, so does anybody have any question? It can be a very good sign or it can be a very bad sign. Oh yeah, Rishi, come forward.
Just, is there anything that we can do that will enable them to prepare us for Managada so that we can get the most out of the trip? Is there anything that we want us to look at or think about such that we can make the most of the trip?
Yeah. Good that you reminded me, because you see, in the South African retreat, I decided that I would speak on, the theme would be based on Bhagavad Gita, because I was seeing that hardly anyone reads Bhagavad Gita, like, you know, there is so many Bhagavad Saptahas and this and that. There's a lot of emphasis on Srimad Bhagavatam, but Bhagavad Gita, which is actually the very foundation, very basis, that is not being emphasized properly. So that's why I decided to give a seminar on Bhagavad Gita. So the topic was the science of spiritual reality in the light of Bhagavad Gita. And like, which is the ultimate consideration of that? Of course, we have to treat it as a science, you know. The point is to present Krishna consciousness as a science, not just as a faith or just as a so-called religion. And that's why but you know, like, it's only 7 days, not even 7 days, 6 days we have. So in the 6 days to cover the whole thing would be very, very difficult. So what I did is I gave the summary of first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And those who are participating, I circulated it to them. And I expected that they would study it thoroughly, the summary. And then in the seminar, just in one day, I covered the first six chapters. Then, seventh ninth and twelfth chapter was done in 3 days. And then the 18th chapter was done in another day, which is actually the summary, which is a culmination or like the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. So as you said, preparation, maybe that kind of preparation you can do, like, you know, give the topics in advance so that everybody can be acquainted with what is going to be discussed. And yeah, good point that you, but to tell you frankly, over the Malaga one, I haven't completely, you know, prepared myself for the thing, the topic. So what I'll do is next few days probably I'll work on that and I'll send it out. And that is one important preparation. And if you all have any idea, you can tell me. I was mainly about the topic. I can tell you the seminar that we'll have in Ujjain from 11th September to 16th September. In that, one topic will be the Bhagavatam class, actually, will be on the theme of the Bhagavatam class will be Srimad Brahma Samhita, the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. To point out that Brahma Samhita is actually the summary of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like, if you understand Brahma Samhita, you understand Srimad Bhagavatam. That will be the morning one, and the main theme for the retreat or the seminar is just going to be Ramayana. In 6 days, I'll try to cover the entire Ramayana. This idea came, or this request actually came, because on Ram Navami, I gave a class. I was asked to give a class. I was in Mayapur during the Ram Navami, and I was asked to give a class on Ram Navami. And the class naturally went on much longer, went on for over 2 hours, and still the devotees didn't want me to stop. So from that, you know, some devotees came up with the idea that why not, you know, have a seminar on Ramayana, because Ramayana can be so exciting and so informative. And it's important that the devotees get to know that. Like Ramayana and Mahabharata, they are the very foundation of our spiritual culture. And I'm sure it will be beneficial if at least devotees understand what it is and the teachings are. And so many things are so illustrious and so meaningful. You know, it comes with such an incredible profundity and realization. Like, for example, I was just telling that point in the devotee, one point I was, while I was narrating, it just came out with such a enlightening realization, or reassurance, I would say. You see, I was describing when Bibhishan left Ravan and came to Ramchandra. Sugriv was guarding the area, so he saw him. And he saw a Rakshasa accompanied by 4 other Rakshasas. So Bibhishan actually came with his 4 associates, who used to always be with him. So when Bibhishan left Ravan, they also accompanied Bibhishan, came to Ram. So Sugriv became very worried, and he felt that maybe this is a demon, Rakshasa, who came to harm them. So he was just about to kill him. So then Vibhishan said that, look, I haven't come here as an enemy. I have come here to surrender to Ram. I left Lavana. I want to join Ram. So Vibhishan was, Sugriva was still very apprehensive. So Vibhishan said, look, just go to Ram and tell him that I have come to surrender. So see what, and just why don't you go and carry a message to him? So Sugriva then went to Lord Ram, Ramchandra. And Ram asked him, what do you think? What we should do? So Sugriva said, I think he is a demon. We shouldn't trust him. No, he is a demon, so we shouldn't trust him. We should kill him. So Ram asked the other leading ones, like Jambavan, Angad, Nala, and they all said that he shouldn't be trusted. He should be killed. Then Ram asked Hanuman. And Hanuman said just the opposite. He said that the way he is presenting himself, the way he speaks, he doesn't look like he came with any evil intention. His intention is genuine. And so this is how Hanuman gave his point of view. Then Ramchandra said, yes, I agree with Hanuman. And then Ramchandra said that even if someone comes with an ulterior motive to surrender, even if one surrenders to me with any evil intention or ulterior motive, even if one surrenders to me to harm me, but if just once one surrenders to me, irrespective of his intention, I accept him. And then he said that if one surrenders to me once, I give him protection throughout his life. And see, I mean, such a beautiful point just came out through this one little incident. That's why these epics, these scriptures are so important. And another thing is that, philosophy presented through these anecdotes becomes very, very exciting, very interesting, very appealing. Anyway, so we thought that we'll do Ramayana then. And now I have to see what am I going to do about the European retreat.